Hey guys, this episode of the podcast is brought to you, as always, by Anchor. If you're looking to produce your very own podcast, Anchor is the easiest way to get noticed. Whether you're in a studio, at home, or on the road using your cell phone, Anchor allows you to easily record your audio and will distribute your podcast to many different formats, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and many, many more. Visit anchor.fm to get started. The Downward Spiral podcast will always be available for free, but if you're looking to help support the show, you can easily do that for as low as 99 cents a month. Visit anchor.fm/DSP and find out how you can help us out. Now, let's start the show.
You are listening to the Downward Spiral podcast with comedian Jason Watson.
Welcome back to another episode of the Downward Spiral podcast. I am your host, Jason Watson. Before we get into it today, I kind of wanted to explain my absence kind of briefly because I want to get into it in next week's episode. Because I want to talk about my comedy show that I did, the day before Veterans Day, so November 10th. So it was a few weeks ago now, but, I ended up getting sick over the week that I wanted to record the second episode of the podcast. I came down with fucking pink eye, which at 35 years old is really weird that happened, but there's that. So
you're 36.
That voice that you just heard right now is my lovely wife, Donna. Say hi to the world, Donna.
Fuck off.
There we go. That'll work. And but anyway, yeah, I got pink eye and I got sick and I missed a bunch of work last week, so I wasn't able to get in here and record the episode in a timely manner that I wanted to. But I will get into all of that on next week's episode, which should drop at our regularly scheduled time of Sunday night. But this week's episode, I am with, you already heard her, my special guest this week is my lovely wife, Donna, and actually a Facebook friend of ours. A few weeks ago, I posted on my Facebook page a question just asking my friends what kind of topics they would like to see me cover on future episodes of the podcast. And one of the topics that somebody mentioned, hey, I'm just getting into a relationship and I'm young and you guys have been married and in a relationship forever. And it would be cool if you guys got together and did a podcast about going through a long-term relationship and kind of the trials and tribulations and what you got to do to maintain a strong bond within a relationship. And so that's kind of what we're going to do today. We're going to mention, we're going to talk about sort of our story. We're going to go back and forth a little bit and maybe we can enlighten some of you about just what it takes to have a long-term relationship. And when I say a long-term relationship, we're recording this on November 25th, and it is actually the eve of our 15-year anniversary, the date of our first date. The first time we met each other, our first date, which was on November 26th of 2000. And she's looking at me with daggers in my eyes. Three. She's reminding me it was 2003. That was quite a long time ago. It's been a wild ride, to say the least, right?
That's totally an understatement.
Yeah. If you can eat the fucking microphone and speak up, and the phone is going to deter you from doing all that.
He is going to drive me insane with the bouncing back and forth and not completing a fucking thought. It is already driving me insane. I love him, but honestly want to stab him right now. Like, legit.
It's not the first time that she's wanted to stab me or mentioned that she does want to stab me. So she'll probably say that several times through this episode. I don't want to spoil the future ending of this episode, but I might be stabbed before it's over. So, is there anything you want to say to kick off the story of us, I guess you could say?
Our story's insane, and I'm going to let him narrate it, and then I will correct it, because we all know that guys always get it wrong.
That's true. I do tend to get things. I don't know if it's a guy thing, but it's definitely a me thing. I can say that. I tend to get things wrong a lot.
It's a guy thing.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well,
totally.
There's that. So, November 26th, 2003. I don't really want to start right there, because I can kind of back it up a little bit as to how we met, because we were kind of set up on, I guess you would consider it a blind date, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so to start it off, Donna has four sisters. Mm-hmm. And as much as I would have liked to run through all of them at some point, one was a little young at the time. One was dating my cousin. I guess they were both young at the time, right? The your two younger sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I ended up. So to start things off, my cousin was dating Donna's oldest sister, and it's going to get a little hillbilly-ish. So just you can pull the banjos out now and start playing them in the background as you're listening to this, if you want to, but. They were not married at the time, engaged. So they were engaged to be married. I don't even know if they were necessarily, were they necessarily?
They were engaged.
They were engaged. Okay. So I guess it's a little bit more hillbilly-ish than I'm trying to pass it off as not being, but they were together, they were dating at the time, and my cousin mentions that, hey, my my girlfriend has four other sisters. And I think I could set you up with one of them if you would like. And I said, sure, no problem. You know, I wouldn't mind. It's an easy way for me to meet someone who was incredibly socially awkward. I was 20 years old at the time and had not gone out on what you would consider an official date besides being set up for a few Christmas dances and stuff through high school. That is the lamest part of this entire story for me. It's fairly embarrassing for me to go through the fact that I had never been on any type of official date all the way up to the age of 20. But so there's that. Yeah. But anyway, my cousin mentions that his girlfriend has four sisters, and I can set you up with one of the sisters who was asking, I think that's how it went. She was asking my cousin if he knew anybody or had any other cousins that were looking for somebody. So they set us up, and it did not work at all. She was not into me in any way, shape, or form, and could not be any more colder than an ice cube. And so that didn't work out. And I got a little down in the dumps after that. Didn't work because nothing seems to work for me. And I would say 2 weeks later or so, maybe she gives me a call and says, hey, you know, I'm sorry I didn't call you, but do you mind if I give your phone number to my sister, my older sister? And maybe you guys can start talking. So I said, you know, sure, no problem. Thank you for, you know, calling me. And she passed my phone number off to Donna, who is now sitting next to me doing this podcast with you. And so the phone rings and Donna and I start talking a little bit. And then we kind of agree to have a wonderful little lunch at the Green Valley Cafe, which is no longer in existence. We lasted longer than the Green Valley Cafe, I think, didn't we?
They had a couple spurts, but yeah.
Yeah.
We made it longer, definitely.
That's good. That's good. So.
I was just actually talking to Pat about how good their curly fries were.
Oh, at the Green Valley Cafe?
Yeah, and what he used to eat and how I used to get the Monterey chicken sandwich, which I ate on our first date. Yeah. And I didn't let him pay for our lunch, by the way, because I was Miss Independent.
You still are Miss Independent. Oh.
To a T.
Yeah.
To a T.
That is definitely still you. She will not let me pay. That's not true now. We make the same money, and our money goes into the same bank account. So, hilariously.
He'll be, I got this. And it's like, yeah, I got it too. It's coming out of our account.
No, no, babe. I'm the one that's pulling the wallet out and swiping the card through the machine. So I got this. Trust me. But, yeah. So, and we went to go see a movie after our lunch, which was the perfect date movie because it had Halle Berry in it.
He doesn't like horror movies, by the way. He's a scaredy little pussy. And we went and watched a scary movie. And he was late to work.
I was late back to work. But I figured that this was a little bit more important than my shift at Pizza Hut, which is where I was working at the time. I had just turned 21, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Because I went on that date with your sister. I was 20, and then now I'm 21, so... Gothica was the movie, right?
Yep.
I don't think we mentioned that part of it. Yeah, so that was fun, I guess. I wouldn't consider that a horror movie.
Thriller, maybe?
Yeah, it's definitely a thriller. Definitely a thriller, but I wouldn't consider it a horror movie. I definitely wouldn't have gone if it was a straight horror movie.
Right.
Because I am kind of a little puss when it comes to that. But there is that, so... Anyway, we go on that date, and this part of the story I always get wrong, and she's going to, I could have her tell this part of the story, or just, she can correct me as I tell it wrong, but I kind of shined you a little bit after that, right?
Yeah, because we all know how serious a man cold is, and how much of a little bitch they turn into, and he got a cold, and he refused to come see me. And so 2 weeks later, we had our second date was the next day after the Green Valley Cafe, which was Thanksgiving. Trial by fire. Thrown into each other's family Thanksgiving. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And then the little fucker blew me off with his man cold.
Yeah. Which, now that I look back at it, is definitely not the play. It's not a good sign. You know, I go and I meet all of her family, including her completely insane younger sister, who is now forever in my comedy act, whether she likes it or not. But, yeah, that's definitely not a good play because, I go and meet your whole family, and then all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, I think I'm sick. I don't know if we should talk to each other right now or come see each other because I'm sick. I'm sure that gave you the holy shit. This guy don't like me anymore after he met my fucking family. But that was not the case. I don't know if I was as sick as I was putting on, for sure. But I was definitely not feeling 100%. And I wanted to feel 100%. Instead of being a gigantic pussy.
Meh.
Yeah, but obviously it worked out after that because here we are still sitting here. 15 years later, it's been a pretty crazy ride throughout the years. After, boy, I don't know how long it was that we were together before I told you I loved you.
Oh God, like 2 weeks.
Yeah, probably right. I am what can I say? I'm a hopeless romantic, I guess. I fall in love with almost everybody that I meet and will tell you as such. If I get on any type of an emotional connection level with you, whether it's a friendship or something beyond that, I will tell you I love you. I'm a lover. I am the type of guy that would say if we'd ever broken up, I would get married again. And I know a lot of people aren't that way. You know, I don't think my sister's not that way. A lot of people aren't that way. They go, well, it didn't work one time, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to try it again. I'm not going to put myself through that again, you know. But I would do it over and over and over and over again because I'm just a lover of love, I guess. I don't know if that makes me a good person or a bad person or not. But that's pretty much my stance on that whole situation. I know it was 2008 was the year we did finally end up getting married.
Right.
But we had talked about it for several years leading up to that. But I think, what was that? Five?
Shit. I had engagement rings maybe 4 months into our relationship, and we lived together like a month or two into our relationship.
Yeah. And
we jumped straight in.
Yeah, and I mean, there was different circumstances that aren't really up to the norm of why we ended up having, we sort of had to kind of move in together in a way, you know. Mm-hmm. We were kind of forced into a situation where we had to sort of live together. But I don't know. That ended up, I think, teaching us at a very early in our relationship how to live together, how to tolerate each other, being next to each other all the time, being around family that we don't want to be around all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's, not going to lie, that's a pretty strong asset to have, especially later in life, in a long-term marriage.
Yeah, we definitely spend a lot of time around each other's family. We're very, very family-oriented.
Whether we like it or not. That is the truth.
Right. But we finally got married in 2008 in Fresno. That's where my parents lived, and that's where we got married, because that's where my mom said that they would throw our wedding and my dad would pay for our reception, even though we paid for everything except for the reception. And that was a whole hoopla in its own right there.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to crack this beer open right now, because just thinking about the process of that wedding and everything is causing me to want to drink again. So, well, there's that.
Yeah.
I think she's thinking kind of the same thing, too. Our parents are crazy.
A little bit.
My parents, definitely crazy.
A lot of bit.
Yeah, a lot of bit crazy. My mom is quite the character, is an easy way to put it. But yeah, so we get married 2008 after 5 years of, like you said, 4 years and 8 months of being engaged.
Right.
Because I think we got engaged. I think we got engaged in, like you said, about 4 months or so after we got together. But, yeah, 5 years into our relationship, we get married. And then 2 years into that, we hit what is, I guess, commonly known as the 7-year itch, sort of, is kind of the way they call it. If you you can kind of sort of describe that theory a little bit better than I can.
Well, it just gets stale, and it becomes more work, and there's effort in it. And I mean, it's like the seventh inning stretch. You stretch, your ass hurts. You're sick and tired of being in the same place with the same person. And you try to spice it up or do something different and try to find that fire again. And not gonna lie, we took it a little bit far, and we ended up separating for a good year in the middle of our 15-year stretch. Off and on. We kind of hated each other for a while, I think.
Yeah, we went through a whole public thing that was nasty, and honestly, some of it was good for both of us. Some of it wasn't good for either of us. But when we got back together, I think, in my personal opinion, and she can share her personal opinion about it, it made me a stronger person. It showed me the levels that I should take for her, and it showed me the levels that I shouldn't allow to happen to me. And it showed me where I needed to stand and also where I needed to fight. If that makes any sense, you know?
I mean, I'll give that to you, but you're not the easiest person in the entire world to get along with. And you were very set in your ways. And I took a lot of your shit. But I did find myself, and I'm stronger now, and I have no qualms telling you to step the fuck off or get the fuck out, because this is my life and I love me more sometimes than I love you, and I love you to the moon and back. But you know what? It's not about taking somebody's shit. You don't have to take their shit. You should be happy.
That's very true.
And if we're not happy, then why the hell are we putting ourselves through this?
Exactly. Exactly. Because this is all about, you know, going through this relationship, being together. It's about making each other happy. Mm-hmm. It's about trying to find these new ways to make each other happy. And I thought, I don't know what our story would be like or where we would be right now had that not happened to us at the time it did or at all. I don't know. It's just one of those things that you can look back on it and say, I don't know, you know, but.
I feel we probably would have became more like our parents and resented each other. I mean, our parents split at the same exact time. They both separated within a year of us getting married, and they had 30-year relationships at the time. So, I mean, you have that extra on top of everything and watching your parents rip each other to shreds. And I mean, I think I would have taken some of his shit, but I think I would have resented him. And I don't think I would be as strong as I am. So I'm grateful for it a little bit. But sometimes I wish we didn't lose that year. But I definitely, definitely learned a lot about myself during that time.
I mean, who knows, down the road, we could have had our big breakup at 45
mm-hmm.
instead of 28 or 27, whenever that was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you get, I guess, to that age, you've been in a relationship that long. When you finally do decide, like, okay, I think I've had enough. Like, I think I've put up with this person for far longer than I probably should have. I think there's going to be more of just a, hey, I'm going to take a break from this and I'm going to walk away. I think at that kind of age, it's going to be like, no, we're done. And we're splitting it up. And I'm not going to waste any more time with this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's definitely not a good thing that it happened. But maybe it's a good thing that it did happen to us at that young of an age.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. Like, I had a lot of resentment when he came back because I had maintained our entire lifestyle and paid for everything. And he stepped out and did whatever the fuck he wanted to. And I still maintained all the adult responsibilities. And then he stepped right back into our life. And for a while, it was really hard for me to get over the fact that he stepped out on me. And then was just able to step right back in, and I had all the pieces already together. That he didn't have to find everything. Like, he had it easy coming back. And I had the hard time when we were separated because I maintained it all. But I think that's just kind of the person that I am. That I am that independent girl. But not gonna lie, like, I really, really resented you for a long, long time.
And you had every right to, It wasn't easy for me, that's for sure. And I know that the outside appearance of it all was that I was just out partying and having a good time and sort of on my own fun little roller coaster. But, I mean, I was sleeping on people's couches. Rarely did I have an actual mattress or bed to sleep on. Rarely did I have clean clothes to wear. And I was still having to try to figure out how to work and how to make a little bit of extra money just so I can put a little gas in a random car that I was able to drive for the week, you know, and get a little food in my belly, I guess you would say. But it was hard. It was hard, but I fought and I kept doing it because it's just one of those things, for whatever reason, I thought I had to do this. That I had to go find myself and see what I really wanted out of life. And at the end of the day, what I wanted out of my life was you. And that's why I came back. And of course, I think we come up with different excuses and reasons to get back in the door. But at the end of the day, I came back because of you, because that's what I wanted. And I found through everything that I, through all my soul searching and all my adventuring and everything that I went through, that what I was really missing in my life was at home.
See, and I don't know if, if I would believe that to be true. I think that when you came back, we refound our love and fell back in love with each other. But I don't honestly feel like you came back for me. You came back for selfish reasons and you needed that place to be. And if I had let you, you would have slept on my couch. And you would have fucked other people in my house. And I would not have been okay with that. I'm glad it worked out the way it is, but I honestly feel like you did not come back for me. You came back because you needed a warm place to sleep and food in your stomach. And you knew that I loved you and I wouldn't let you sleep on the streets. And we share family. So it's a little bit harder knowing that our nieces are my sister's kids, but also your cousin's kids. So it was a little bit harder, but I would always have some kind of love for you. And I think we re-fell in love, not that we came back to each other because that's where we wanted to be. Because I wasn't sure when you came back that that's where I wanted to be.
It took me a minute to figure that out. I wanted to give you your space, but I'm not going to lie. Like I said, you come up with selfish reasons to come back. And I did come up with a selfish reason to come back, that I had just gotten kicked out of the place that I was staying at, that I was actually finally able to pay for with actual money, with a job that I was making and whatnot, you know. And I did need that place to live, you know. I'm not going to lie. It helped that you were there, that I was able to come back to you, kind of my shining light and my beacon. My light at the end of the tunnel.
Enough of this dribble.
Yeah, enough of
bad reminiscing.
Yeah, this horrible, disgusting, depression-fueled conversation. But, boy, since then, that was, what, 2011?
Yeah.
I will say this, though. During our time apart, that was when I started doing stand-up comedy. Looking for my outlet.
Yeah, but
or another outlet, you could say.
I feel like I still encouraged you and inspired you to do that. I mean, on one of the stints when you came back, we went to that comedy show, and I always told you, oh, you were funny. You should try it. And we had a house party. We had a house party the fucking day you left. You left the second time, and you decided you were going to perform in front of your friends, and that was from my encouragement. So I really feel like I had a part in your stand-up comedy. You just kind of took it and ran with it when we were separated. Like, you had to find some kind of positive, is how it made me feel. Like, you took something that I helped you kind of realize and try to run with it and find yourself through it.
You definitely did, and in more ways than just that, in more ways of just like, hey, I'm encouraging you to do this. We used to go together all the time to karaoke. And a lot of people will ask me, you know, like, hey, like, how do I get into comedy? Not necessarily who do I talk to get into comedy, but like, what did you do to, like, overcome the nerves, you know, and be able to get in front of people and do goofy stuff and try to make people laugh, you know, in a room full of strangers? And as funny as it sounds, karaoke and us going to karaoke every Tuesday and Thursday night, you know, really helped kind of break me out of my shell. It really helped open me up to performing in front of people, because I would go up and I wouldn't just sing songs. I would do some of the goofy songs, sing Adam Sandler songs and shit like that that were hilarious and try to pop the crowd, I guess you would say, you know. So honestly, we've been together now after that longer than we were together before that. Or we're pretty much at the halfway point. It was a 7-year,
like, literally, we were married 2 years. The day after Valentine's Day, I caught you cheating on me, and you left me. So, if we got married in 2008...
Look.
In 2010, we separated. You came back in 2011.
You can't bring that up without going into all the other stuff.
No, you don't have to go into all the other stuff.
Sure you do.
No,
because you're making me look bad now.
But you fucking cheated on me. There's a difference between what we were doing and what you did. What is there not?
Is there not?
There definitely is.
And then that's
there
definitely
exactly it. Is a difference, but. But you're definitely making me look terrible here.
Jason, it's what it was. We did shit. Lots of shit. But what you did was different than the shit that we did.
I caught feelings doing the yes. shit that we were doing.
Yes.
And that is
and
not...
And the lying and behind my back, and that's cheating.
Yeah, I would... I'll give you that much, yeah. And, I mean, to say, you know, we were doing shit, we were in an open relationship at the time to go ahead and uncloud the fucking, the invisibility cloak
That's
there.
That's cool. You can say all this because all this is coming out.
But, well, all this is known, you know, people knew what we were up to and it wasn't a big mystery because honestly, we weren't ashamed of anything that we did. And if you're doing something that you're ashamed of, then you're probably not doing the right thing anyway, right? The way I look at it.
I guess.
But at the time, we were. Things got a little crazy. Boundaries and rules were broken. Feelings were caught. And it became an issue, which is a thing that happens a lot in those situations. To be honest. And... I'm going to need you to bring this up because it fucking deleted it on my phone.
I've got it. Let's keep talking.
But yeah, so that's basically what happened there. And I'm not perfect. I'm not a saint. I go through a lot of that stuff where you have like the justifiable reasons for your actions and whatnot. And, but at the end of the day, there's nothing that can justify your actions.
Right.
If they're not the right thing, you know, and, but now, you know, we've been together for just as long as we were together before we split up and
right.
We bad. We're strong as ever. We're strong as an ox. We're strong as bull. Strong like bull. Right.
God.
Strong like bull.
You're retarded.
Yeah, so, anyway, well, some of the cute and dumb things that we like to do together.
We have ridiculous pet names for each other.
Oh, my
and
God.
And the fact that he introduced me as Donna kind of makes me feel weird because we don't call each other by our name.
It is kind of weird.
Unless we're fighting, and then it's still even weird.
She does hit me with the very motherly Jason Raymond. Though a lot when she's yelling at me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I don't like it. But I think she knows I don't like it. So that's what she uses to get under my fucking skin and to get me to do the things that she knows I'm not going to want to do or I'm not going to do, you know?
It's what wives do.
It is what wives do, and she does it very well. She definitely does it very well.
Other cute stuff we do, I don't even...
I have a whole handful of names that I call her. She's my Mo. She's my Bebis. She's my Mon Frere Bebis, which is, I know that means my brother, but I don't give a shit.
Right.
I don't care. I don't know why I call her that, but I just do. She's my Mon Frere. She's my Vun. She's my Bebis.
Right, right.
She's my Momo.
He gives me, well, he used to give me back rubs every night.
Every night.
Every single night.
Every night.
And when we first got together, he would drive to my house just to kiss me goodnight.
Yes, she lived, I guess, almost Strathmore.
Yep.
Which is, you know, the next town over from Porterville. And I would get off of my shift. This was our first year that we were dating. And I would get off my shift from Pizza Hut. I would close at about 1:30 in the morning. I would drive all the way out to her house to kiss her goodnight, put a blanket on her, and give her whatever random stuffed animal that I had won out of the claw machine that night before I left. And I'm not going to lie, I used to tear that damn claw machine up. And I think before I left the Pizza Hut, I had bags upon bags of stuffed animals that I had won from that claw machine.
I think another thing that we do is we do our travels and carpool-ish karaoke where we live stream and just do random crap.
Oh, God.
I think it's not cute or dumb, but I'll sit and watch him play video games and criticize the way he plays. Or
or criticize anything that I do ever.
Try to tell him how to cheat or how to solve a puzzle. Like, it was my favorite thing when we first got Breath of the Wild was we'd sit there at night and play for 3 hours, and I would talk him through the dungeons or tell him, oh, there's rupees over there. Oh, there's this over there. Oh, I saw this or I saw that. Or you should do this. Or you're a dumbass. You need to go back. Or go catch that horse because I like that horse. Just the dynamic. Me being a bossy boss, because that's what I do.
That is what she do, and she do that well. And we definitely did bond. We definitely did bond over Breath of the Wild of that year that it had come out. I put a lot of hours into that. She sat down and watched me play over 200 hours of that game.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a ton of other cute and hilarious things that we do together. The carpool karaoke is probably my favorite thing right now that we do. So if you follow either of us on Facebook, wait for us to go live. It's usually us in the car singing to some type of annoying 90s song.
That's the only music I like to listen to. No, he has written down about our dynamic and our similarities. We are complete polar opposites.
I wouldn't say complete polar opposites.
I mean, but we differ on so much shit. And the really, really important, like, base shit that people really bond over, like, we don't agree on religion.
No.
We do not agree on politics.
No.
We do not agree over music.
No, no, no.
We don't agree on food.
Yeah,
you will do ridiculously spicy and hot.
Oh,
and,
true.
And you like some shit that I would never put in my fucking mouth. And the crazy shit that your family has you
and
eat,
she puts,
it is
and
disgusting.
And she puts some very questionable stuff in her mouth, let me tell you.
Jesus Christ.
But I will say that we have bonded over our hatred of tomatoes.
And I mean, he gets all my onions, I guess. I fucking hate onions. I loathe me some onions.
You can hear the hatred in her voice when she says that. Yeah, but we definitely have bonded over our hatred of tomatoes, as I'm staring at a whole thing of tomatoes right now on the wall, on that wall calendar she got from her job. One of her previous jobs that she had.
Yes. And then I'm career driven, and I am all about doing the best I can, getting the best of what I can, moving forward, and he likes to just kind of
fly by the seat of my pants, sort of.
No,
you would say.
He liked delivering pizza because he didn't have to do much and think much, or it was just what it was. You go to work, it is what it is, and I think that's why he really likes his job, is that it is what it is. And me, I like having responsibilities, being able to move up, really have like an effect on what I'm doing. And that's a complete opposite that we've got. But somehow it oddly balances each other out. And I know that religion and politics can rip people apart, but we have some of the best conversations. And we'll have shouting matches and it'll be like, you're just stupid. You're just stupid. And we'll agree to disagree. And it's kind of nice because you can have that kind of open dialogue. And when he didn't want to vote this year, and he's like, oh, people bullied me into voting. So, because we fucking vote. We have voted every single election the entire 15 years we've been together. Every single one. And he was all of a sudden, my vote doesn't matter. I wrote in Ron Paul. It does not matter. It's your voice. And if you're not going to fucking do something about it, don't complain. Because I don't want to hear it. Do not complain one time, because your voice matters, and if you're not going to do something about it, fuck you, and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, she did bully me into voting this year, but she won me over with that argument, and it really is true. I don't know, it was just, 2016 really just took it out of me. It took it out of me, and not necessarily just the presidential election, just it. it really, that whole thing just shined a light on how shitty the process really is to me, and how, and just how it's just what is going to happen is what's going to happen. And you could complain and you can whine and you can make Facebook post after Facebook post about this or that, but it's not going to change anything. And it's not going to change people's minds and whatnot. And what's going to be is what's going to be, and how we've learned to appreciate each other. And when I came up with that particular line, I made sure to write it that way, because you can robotically just do the different things in life to show appreciation. You know, you can buy somebody something when you're thinking about them, this, that, and the other thing, you know, but it really is a learned process.
That was accidental.
No, it's not, because you're on Facebook. It can't be an accident because you're on Facebook.
Okay. I can't stand unread notifications, and you know this, and after 15 years, accept it.
Okay, this is leading me into another topic that I wanted to get into, and it's pet peeves, things that annoy the shit out of me.
No, about I want you her. To talk about our acceptance and appreciation.
How we've learned to show acceptance to each other.
Well, our appreciation, though, like...
How we've learned to appreciate each other.
Yes.
Yes. She keeps me focused. She pushes me towards the next goal, whether I see what it is or not. She makes sure I get out of bed every day, get my shoes on, and get my ass out the door. And for that, I'm extremely grateful for her.
He checks my bitch level and makes me... check myself, and sometimes I hope that I help him check himself, but sometimes you just need somebody to say, you're being a cunt, and be like, fuck you, no I'm not, okay, maybe I am. So I'm appreciative of that fact, but I do appreciate the small things that he does. Like, I work so much, and I'm gone so much doing all these things, and he makes sure that the laundry's done, and most guys won't do the laundry, and he'll do the dishes. And he'll run the errands for me. And I appreciate those small gestures.
She does work an awful lot to keep things moving here in the house. And so I just try to do the small things like that just to make her life a little bit easier. Anything I could do to kind of help things go smoothly for her. I don't want to get into the whole happy wife, happy life. But it really is true. It really is true, as corny and cliche as that whole thing sounds.
I always encourage him to be better and try to better himself and better our relationship and better our, I guess, our status and everything. I mean, we disagree on a lot, and I just kind of try to push him to be better and think about choices instead of just doing what you want to do. Really, like, take a minute and think about your actions and the consequences and what's kind of how it affects us, and stop thinking about how it affects you, but how it really affects us as a couple and our dynamic. I mean, I always consult him before I make any choices. When I change jobs, whenever I buy anything, I always consult him, and it's hard, and I'm always honest, and I feel sometimes that he has a hard time doing the same for me, but I really push him to try to make those choices and have the same consideration, because everybody deserves their voice. You can't sit and say that you're not given the opportunity or you don't get to voice your opinion when you are, and you just choose to be, I don't even know the word I want to say.
No.
Not truthful, or...
Yeah. I definitely understand what you're saying, and a lot of that is... It's based around, you know, like she mentioned earlier, we are totally, you know, we're polar opposite people. You know, I wouldn't say she's as straight-laced as it comes.
Oh, hell no.
Or as white milk, I would say, as it comes. But I did drugs when we first got together. I wouldn't say I was a drug addict. I wasn't, like, strung out on meth or anything like that when we got together by any stretch. But I love to smoke pot. I like to drink. I would do cocaine occasionally when it was fun time, happy time. Eat some mushrooms, you know, when good friends are in town for the weekend and whatnot, you know, and I had no problem experimenting and doing, crazy things like that. And a lot of what she's saying right now is, accepting the change for the better of you. And I don't want to act like she's like my teacher or my principal or my mom or anything, but she oftentimes tell me, are you making good choices? You know, which is a lot of the stuff that the kids are told nowadays. You know, that they're not just telling them what to do. They're saying, well, was that a good choice? Did you make a good choice? Go out and make a good choice today. You know, and as stupid as that sounds, that has really helped change me for the better and direct me towards a more positive lifestyle, I guess you would say. And she definitely does. She pushed me to change. She pushed me to do things in my life and make changes in my life that were positive for me. And there's a lot that goes along with not just being a comedian, because I'm very public. I'm very much out in the open. Everyone knows me and knows the things that I do. But also with my job, my current job, working at an elementary school, my reputation is everything in that job.
Yeah.
You know? And if people see that I'm doing these things that would be uncharacteristic of somebody that works around children, that's not a good choice.
No.
It's not a good thing to do. And that has actually got pushed me out of my comfort zone, because I didn't have a good childhood. I had a very negative childhood a lot of the times. And keeping myself numbed through alcohol, drug use, and whatnot helped me cope. I didn't want to sit and think about those things. I didn't want to have to actually deal with emotional situations the way normal people deal with emotional situations, by actually living through them, mm-hmm. crying them out, talking through it with people, dealing with it in that way. And for her to continue to push me to do those things really took me out of my comfort zone. And it's not always what I wanted to do. And those decisions are not always what seemed like the right thing for me to do. But I'm glad that she pushed me to do those things, because I think I've grown a lot. And especially in the last year and a half or so, I think I've changed a lot, and I've learned to deal with a lot of those things myself, instead of just putting a blanket over my head, more or less, you know, theoretically.
Right.
And numbing myself out, you know. And but I know that I've done quite a few things to try to help push you in a direction so that you weren't so guarded and you weren't so much in your comfort zone. And a lot of it to try new things in life. That is a lot of what I... kind of my mantra to live by is to try new things. Always try new things, because you've only got one life to live, one time on this earth, and to sit and just keep doing the same old things that we're always doing doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, you know? And so I always constantly push her to go out and meet new people, to do new things, and just to live new experiences in life, because after it's all over, you can't sit and think about what I could have done, what I couldn't have done, what I did do, what I didn't do. Because everything is super permanent. And I was actually thinking about this when I was getting my tattoo on Friday. This pain I'm feeling on my leg right now while she's doing this tattoo is temporary. When she pulls that needle off my skin, in 5 seconds, that pain goes away. For as much pain as I was in at the time it was getting done, it's gone. It's temporary. It's there, and then it's gone. And that's pretty much how life is, too. You don't like something, don't do it again. You eat that food and you don't like it, it's not going to kill you. You just didn't like it, fine, fair enough. Try something new. Try something else new. You never know what you're going to like.
See, and that's your free spirit. I mean, I'm not that free spirit, and I always think about the repercussions of all my actions and the seriousness of everything, and I think 5 steps ahead and how things would be perceived. So I've never done drugs. I mean, I smoked pot with you for a while, but I haven't smoked pot with you in like 8 years, and I don't really drink, and when we were separated, I was a raging alcoholic, and I brought myself back because I just don't like the way of not feeling in control of myself. And so, I mean, it's another one of our polar opposites, and just like the different things going on with us. Now he is completely sober and has been that way for almost a year and a half, and I'm super proud of him. And now he gets to watch me drink occasionally, and I, since my surgery, get drunk really, really fast, really, really easy. And I think he's getting a taste of what it was like, what I had to deal with when he was sloppy drunk. But I haven't even got to that point where he would get to experience taking care of me sloppy drunk. It's just some of those things. And I think about, oh, breaking this law, or speeding, or doing an illegal maneuver in a car. And
yeah. What do I always say? What do I always say? Do you see a cop?
Yeah, and that does not matter to me. I don't care if you see a cop. I'm not going to do it. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I think about what's acceptable in my status and all these things that I do, the people I affiliate myself with. I've given up a lot of vices for my surgery. It has changed my body.
We haven't even really gotten into your surgery or anything.
Oh my god! And I'm in so much pain right now.
Fried food is I'm gonna I'm gonna blame the fucking French fries. Yeah, I'm gonna blame the French fries. It's one of those things. You think you want it, and then you eat it, and then you're in pain, and then you go, yeah. What are some of the things that I do to you that fucking drive you crazy, but if I was gone, you would miss the hell out of them?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You start.
Me?
Yeah, you start.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it is the stuff that she's already done here on the podcast, and she's got a wandering mind. So we're sitting here talking, and we're in the middle of a sentence, and she'll pick up her stone. We're in the middle of a conversation, and she'll pick up her phone and start thumbing through her Facebook, click on a video, the shit starts playing. We're right in the middle of doing this podcast, and completely forgets that, oh shit, we're in the middle of a conversation. You know, she's got the wandering mind, I guess you would say, and that drives me absolutely crazy, but God damn it, if I didn't have that to turn around and yell at without her here, I don't know what I would do. It would drive me nuts. Another thing she does is when we're in bed and we're sleeping, and this is almost an everyday thing. It's a complaint back and forth between me and her. She'll sleep on top of the blankets. She'll sleep on top of the blankets, and she knows I like to sleep in the blankets. But she'll sleep on top of them, knowing that I have to pull the blankets out from underneath her so that I could get a little piece of them to get under. And then, of course, it fucks the whole deal up, and then she wakes up, and she yells at me because I messed the blankets up. Even though blankets are meant to be slept underneath.
Total exaggeration. He burritos himself.
Okay, I do burrito.
So he could cover up. There's plenty of blankets to cover up. But since he can't bundle and steal all of the blankets, it becomes this big old bitch fit where he untucks the sheets and untucks the blanket so he can pull the bottom corner up and fold himself like a fucking burrito.
Burrito or no? Burrito or no? There is not enough blanket for me on my side of the bed.
My foot on top of the blanket is not going to pin that goddamn foot, thing.
It's your whole goddamn body.
They come
body.
To my side of the bed and lift my fucking leg.
Oh, what? While you're sleeping?
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Why? Then just go under the blanket. Why are you fucking with me? Just go underneath the goddamn blanket.
Like any normal human, one leg is always out from under the blankets. And I don't care if it pins your fucking blanket.
Agree to disagree, I guess.
No. But there's only one way to live.
Yeah, your way.
My way or the highway.
Yeah, that's true. So, what are some of the stupid little things that I do that drive you absolutely crazy? But
you play the fucking drums on me all the time. You'll walk up and you'll play them on my boobs. You were doing fresh tattoo on my lower back. What do? Drums on my ass. Yeah. Drums on my ass on my fresh tattoo.
Yeah.
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 Fucking psycho.
Yeah.
Fucking psycho.
A little bit.
Also, the fact that you have to have a table in front of you while you eat, you cannot eat out of your lap, drives me fucking crazy.
Why? I like stability.
No.
I like stability.
Wait, it gets worse. But that table, if it's a TV tray, you don't just need the space. It has to be completely clean and only your food on top of it.
Yeah.
Well, fuck me. Everything goes in my lap, including dogs, and you'll pile all your shit on my tray, and that's okay.
I don't ask you to do any of that.
Or you pick up my drink, and you're like, can I have a drink? And you drink half of it in one fucking sip. Drives me crazy. Drives me fucking crazy. Don't clap on me, boo-boo.
I don't.
Oh, my God.
I don't ask you to do any of that. You choose to live that way. You choose to live with a plate full of food. You choose to live with Big Fat Padme on your lap. I don't ask you to do any of that. That's what you put yourself in that situation. But fuck me for wanting to have a clean fucking table to eat my food on.
Well, it's not even like you want to eat at a table. You don't even want to eat at a fucking table. It's a TV tray that has to be cleared off with everything in front of you.
It's table enough. It's a table for one. That's what it is. It's a table for one.
You're retarded.
Oh, there you go.
You're retarded.
There you go. Four times you said it.
Also, that it does not matter if there's shit to drink in this house. If it is not ice cold, he has to go to the store and buy a drink.
That is false.
No, that is not false.
That is false.
That really? Because okay, there was a case of water with all your mix-ins and warm drinks and all your shit, and there's nothing for me to drink here. I'm going to drink your drink because your drink's cold, or I'm going to go to the store and buy myself a drink.
Back that fucking train up. Okay, I do like ice cold drinks.
Oh.
I'm not going to lie. I do like ice cold drinks. But I will put, if what we have is water, I'll put it in the freezer and let it get cold. I don't have to go to the store to buy myself an ice cold drink. But I'm not going to drink the shit warm. I will tell you that. I'm not going to drink the shit warm. Because I'm a fucking a goddamn human.
No, but you insist on me drinking everything ice cold too because you want to steal my drink. And no, fuck me if I don't mind drinking warm something.
Okay, there's a difference between not minding that you want to drink it warm and wanting to drink it ice cold. You don't like ice cold drinks?
Not all the time.
Sometimes you want a warm drink.
Sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
Psychopath.
Yeah, so this is a lot of the stuff that I would totally miss if we were split up and I didn't have her to yell at back and forth. But anyway, I don't really know if we got into really very much the things, the situations. But this is really what a long-term relationship is. Right now, what we're doing right now, this back and forth, this conversation, this is pretty much the majority of a long-term relationship, is us having these types of, it's not even a fight, this would be a fight to a normal human just watching us. They think we hate each other, but this is just this is the conversation. This is the way it works. This is what you do when you go back and forth with somebody. Anyway, I thought this went well.
Are we done?
Well, we have some Facebook questions from some friends.
No.
You don't want to get into the Facebook questions?
Not yet. Yeah, your family is crazy, and the things you say to our dogs in your notes is fucking crazy.
The things I say to the dogs?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I didn't know we were getting into the fat dogs.
Well, it's right here, and it's above the Facebook questions, and you totally skipped it.
Oh, this is my psychosis.
Yeah, your psychosis.
No, it's not crazy things we do to pets.
I see the pet peeves.
It says crazy things we do / pet peeves.
My pet peeves. So, I hate when people leave the bathroom door open or the shower curtain. Shower curtains are meant to be closed, asshole.
Okay.
Close the shower curtain.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Also, if you finish with something or you make something and you're right by the trash can, don't leave it sitting there. Put it in the fucking trash can.
Look.
Put it in the trash can. Look,
if there's room in the trash can, I will put it in there. But oftentimes
you're full of shit.
It's stuff that doesn't fit in the trash can.
You're full of shit.
Oh, goddamn. See this? And I will actually take photographic evidence when we have situations like this and show her, look. Cannot fit in the trash can.
He will make a drink, his mix-ins and shit, leave it on the table. Mind you, it's like a fucking piece of paper that's like 4 inches long.
Look, I'm piling it up so I can make one big trash run. Oh, I'm not trying to throw away a bunch of little shit all the time.
Psychopath.
God. Idiot.
I hate the way he drives my car.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what I do.
He rides my brakes, or he flies up on people, and then he hits the brakes. And then if I tell him, hey, there's somebody stopping, he'll be like, I know. But if I don't say anything, he's almost hit people. So I don't know if I'm supposed to say something or if I'm not supposed to say something.
No, you're never supposed to say anything.
And then we find out with the radio station, in my own car!
I'm the one driving!
Whether or not I'm driving! He thinks he gets to control my radio in my car.
What about the armrest?
The armrest belongs to me. It's my car!
No! I'm driving. I need to be comfortable. I'm the one piloting the vehicle. If I'm not comfortable, I will wreck this fucking thing. That's how it works.
You'll wreck this thing if you're comfortable or not.
Oh, that's a bunch of horse shit. I'm a fantastic driver.
Really?
Yes.
How many accidents have you been in? How many tickets have you had?
That is neither here nor there.
Oh, you're a fantastic driver, though.
You've been in an accident. That was your fault.
One.
Yeah.
I don't have any tickets.
You should have got a ticket for that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Negative.
You should have got a ticket for being an asshole. Asshole ticket.
Uh-uh.
I believe that's a 21C3. I don't know. One of my police officer friends can look that code up.
Meh.
Meh?
Meh.
Yeah. Yeah. Tone's changing. That's all I know. Tone be changing.
Oh, mother of God.
Open that thing. She has this new iPhone X and... It only opens up when she puts her fucking face into it. So I will jam the phone in her face and say, open this. And it doesn't always work. But anyway. Yeah, this went good. I think this went great. Going to edit this bad boy down and get an episode out there for you.
We're not going to do the Facebook questions?
We are going to do the Facebook questions. I'm kind of wrapping it up a little bit and then we're going to do the Facebook questions. And
why would you wrap it up and then do the Facebook questions? You end it all on one note.
Jesus Christ.
You're fucking psycho.
I'm the professional here, and
no, you're the one in your last fucking thing to, like, be, I'm out of here, and then you keep talking, and then, oh, I'm out of here, and then you keep talking. That's not how it works. You're out of here one time.
She listens to my podcast, she listens to my comedy, and she will critique it, and offer me ways that I can improve, not improve, change things here and there. And I love it when she does that. It helps keep... No, I actually fucking hate it. I hate it when she does that. I'm a creative, and the creative mind does have a problem with self-editing, and I think that's one of the biggest and most important things, skills that you could learn as an artist or as a creative mind is self-editing. Mm-hmm. Learning when to realize that everything you're doing is not fucking gold. And everything I'm saying is not gold. Some stuff needs to be trimmed down, cut out, or thrown away completely. And she keeps me on base when it comes to that. But anyway, I put this topic out there on Facebook today that we were going to do this show together. And I asked some of our friends to throw out a couple questions that some things maybe they were interested in hearing about. And One of the questions that we were asked was, when did you realize you wanted to get married? And like she already mentioned earlier, I realized it, you know, a couple months into us being together. I think the second place that we moved into, I got down on my hands and knees and proposed to her the first time. When she mentioned that she had engagement rings, like, 2 months into our relationship, how exactly did that go down again?
He had proposed to me, and I had said yes, but we didn't have any rings. I didn't have any rings, and I was going to build my credit and went to the jeweler, and I was like, I'm going to get these rings. Come down here and pay for them.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. I got a phone call and said, hey, I picked out my engagement rings. Come down and sign the thing for me. Yeah. Super romantic, right? That's how that happened. But when did you first decide that you wanted to take the leap and marry this fantastic, godlike figure sitting next to you?
That would be October 24th, 2008.
That's my mom's birthday, by the way. She gave you the gift of knowledge that you wanted to be with me.
Yeah. I mean, I loved you for a long time, and I'm not going to lie, like, it was really hard some of the first few years and getting to know each other, and just like the fact that I was saying earlier that I'm a really honest person. Like, I'm honest and blunt, and it's a good thing and a bad thing, and Jason is not the most honest person, and he's working on it, but he drives me crazy still sometimes that he's not honest with me. And I will say that even though I had said yes, I think it wasn't probably till a couple of years in that I had decided that I would actually do it.
Stick it out.
Yeah.
And go through this whole because thing with
me. Because it definitely was a roller coaster, and the highs and the lows were ridiculous, and the highs were great, but the lows were low, and I mean, watching my parents tear each other to shreds and hearing your parents bicker and just us having shouting matches and all of that, like, I wasn't sure if I was ready for it. But when we got our first apartment, I would say our own first apartment, and we started doing things our way, that's when I decided that I would go ahead and marry you. When you started working two jobs and I was working all my hours and stuff, and you were putting in the effort that I put in to make the shit go, that's when I decided that.
And we were apart.
It would be okay.
And we were gone. We were apart from each other so bad, and all I wanted to do was get home to see you. And then I would get home and you'd be gone. And I'm sure all you wanted to do was get through the workday and be able to come home and see me. And I think once you get to that point, I think that's really where you decide, you know what? Like, let's go ahead and do this because we're already kind of doing it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
When I got what I was giving and I felt like my dedication was matched, that's what did it for me. And I couldn't tell you, like, exactly when, but I know it was because we lived with family for a long time. It was almost 2 years in when we got our first place, and we were really pushing for finally everything.
Starting to, like, play house,
and
sort of.
Like, we had our own credit, we had our own cars, and things were just going along like normal relationships do. And we could handle the tension from maintaining our life together. That's when I decided, let's do it.
So another question that we were asked, how has our sex life changed or evolved throughout the 15 years that we've been together?
That's a deep question. Well, I mean, all relationships when you start are hot and heavy. Like, you're in that honeymoon phase where you just want each other all the time.
there was a lot of stuff where it was because I was still living in the same bedroom. Actually, I'm in that, we are in that room right now doing this show. But my parents were here living in this house, and it was the room I went to high school in, you know? And there was a lot of stuff that had to be done behind closed, locked doors. Doors that should have been locked, but were forgotten to turn the handle and lock them.
That's Jason's fault.
That's always my fault, by the way, because that is the man's responsibility. Ladies, it is never your fault. It is always the man's responsibility to make sure every fucking base is covered and that all doors are locked. Mm-hmm. And when he's got his hand up your skirt and he's trying to work you like a fucking Muppet, make sure the damn door's locked, because at any moment, your dad might throw that door open and say, hey, the Bundys are on. Let's watch.
Right.
Which is an actual thing that happened one time.
Yeah.
We were playing around in bed one time, and it was not even a boom, the door was open. No, the door just came open, and my dad said, hey, Jay, the Bundys are on. Fucking show's been canceled for 15 years, as if I give a shit. I'm trying to get some. Let me be.
Yeah. And then it got real stale. And we weren't into each other for a while.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And you start having a lot of problems in relationships are from sex life. And it does not matter what anybody says. I can guarantee you that a good 75-80% of problems in a relationship stem from lack of sex.
Yes.
People tend to cheat when there's lack of sex. If you don't keep it interesting, if they don't feel like you're into each other, you start looking for things, and that's when we turn to our open relationship at that point. I mean, and it got hot and heavy, and we did a lot of stuff, but then feelings get caught, and when we came back together, our sex life, it was just us, and we were into each other, and then it got stale again. And it happens, everybody has ups and downs, but I would say that since I've lost half of my body weight, and Jason's lost a significant amount of weight, our sex life has gotten way better. Nowhere near when we first started dating. I don't think anybody ever gets back there. But it's definitely gotten interesting. And
it's gotten better in a different way, yeah, I would say.
I think it's more intimate and connected now.
Is it as frequent as it was before, as drop of the hat, we would have a party? And I would just whisper in her ear and say, hey, let's go in the bathroom and bang it out real quick, you know? And that's the way it used to be, you know, in the first year or two that we were together. I can't say that that's the way we would do stuff nowadays. However, I think this sex is better now than it has ever been in any point in our relationship. Yeah. Like you said, there's that emotional, mental connection, and the fact that we both lost a considerable amount of weight. What was it, November 1st, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Donna had her surgery, and since then she's lost almost...
I've lost almost 200 pounds.
Yeah, well, that's a lot. That's a lot. And to be honest, we could do a lot of stuff now that we really haven't been able to do at all, ever, in the course of our relationship. So, in that regard, it's not so much the passage of time that has evolved our relationship. That's definitely part of it. But I think it's this dramatic weight loss that we've had.
Change in our bodies, for sure.
The change of the bodies has more changed our sex life than the passage of time has.
Right.
But I will agree with you on the part that there is definitely a difference between fucking and making love.
Right.
And I think a lot of times...
people get it twisted.
Well, I think a lot of the stuff that we do now is much more intimate and sensual. We fuck. I'm not going to not put that out there. We get it on, you know, but I think also a lot of what we do is very sensual. And I think that actually ends up being better oftentimes than just get it out there and get it done.
Yeah.
And go hardcore with it, you know.
Sure. I mean, it's better with the connection. And don't get me wrong, doing other stuff is fun and experimenting is great, but there's something about having a connection with somebody, and it's more deep. And as much as you could bang it out with anybody, I think and it's so cliche, doing it with somebody you love is different. It's just it's a different level. It's a different kind of excitement. And people will agree to disagree, but I don't know. It's deeper and more meaningful, I guess.
I agree with you 100%. And I totally understand where you're coming from on that. What are some of the things that we've done where we've had to compromise in certain areas that we didn't agree?
I think the big thing right now is kids. I mean, I think if you had had your way, we would have had kids years ago. I mean, 15 years together tomorrow, and we don't have kids. We're the only ones with no kids. I don't want kids.
To specify, we're the only ones in our family that don't have kids. We're not saying everybody on earth that doesn't have kids.
Both sides, and most of our friends and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, even our, God, there's very, very few couples and friends that we do have that don't have kids. You know, we are kind of the last one standing, so to speak, you know, in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest compromise, I think.
That's it. I don't think there's any compromise outside of that that's bigger than that.
Right.
You know, that's pretty much the biggest one. And I'm not going to lie, I want them.
I don't.
She doesn't. My life would be complete and perfect if we never did have them. If we did have them, it would be amazing too. But at the end of the day, I'm right where I should be.
I will say this. It's really, really, really annoying and judgmental of people to say that we're selfish or that we don't know what love is because we don't have children. I get it. There's a different love between a parent and a child. But don't get it twisted. I love my nieces and nephews and would give my life for them. Just because I don't have to take care of them and they didn't come out my loins doesn't mean I don't love somebody. Just because me and Jason are married doesn't mean I don't love him as much as anybody else loves anybody. Love is love is love is love. It does not fucking matter. It doesn't have to be clear cut. You love your child more than anybody. I don't give a fuck. I love the way I love. If I love you, I love you. If I don't, I don't. If I care for you, I care for you. And I get sick and tired of people telling me that I'm selfish or I don't know what love is because I don't have children. It really pisses me off.
Yeah, one of the things that drives me absolutely crazy, and I know she's going to agree with me on this front, is when people say you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like because you don't have kids. I could tell you why the ocean's blue. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you why the sky is blue.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what the big ball in the sky is. It's the moon or it's the sun. I've never been there.
Right.
But I can tell you what it is because I've learned about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I work at a school. I care for kids every single day. If I didn't know how to take care of them just because I don't have kids of my own, they wouldn't hire me. That's not how it works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Casey Anthony.
Jesus Christ.
Casey fucking Anthony didn't know how to take care of kids, and she had one. It's just a stupid, it's such an elementary argument for somebody to make.
Right.
That you don't know what it's like because you don't have kids. It's called learning behavior. You'll learn it. You read about it. You experience it enough that you do know what it's like.
Right. Here's a random thought about loving children. So, are you saying because you birthed the child...
Yes.
...that you love a child more than somebody that adopts a child? Or is a foster parent? What about somebody that can't have babies? Are you saying that you love your kid more than them just because it came out of you? that they truly can't understand the love of a parent because that child is not their blood, or a step parent can't love a child as much as their birth parent.
Right.
I mean, has anybody thought about that?
And really, when someone makes that argument of you don't know what it's like because you didn't have kids, that's basically what they're saying. They're saying that without saying that. And I think people don't understand how offensive that really is to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't no fucking snowflake or anything, but I don't think people get the point that they're making when they make that kind of an argument, you know, is basically what I'm trying to say. So, but anyway, it's over. We're done.
Cool.
We made it.
I can sign the divorce papers?
You can sign the divorce papers. The packet is sitting in the living room on the table.
I have a half-completed one in my desk at work.
There you go. All you gotta do is white out the names and put our names in there.
Damn Skippy.
There you go. So we made it.
I'll have you file, because then it'll be free.
Why?
Because you make less money.
Is that how that works?
Well, you make under the threshold for a person in a month.
Yeah?
Yeah, so totally.
Well, you hear that, guys? Y'all, we're getting fucked. We're getting fucked.
We get fucked every way.
Yeah, we do.
Hey. Just because we don't have kids doesn't mean we don't get fucked. We get fucked over in taxes. 27% of my income into taxes. And guess what? I get a bill at the end of the year. You're welcome for your $8,000 tax fucking credit.
Yeah, that shit gets really annoying. I'm just trying to get my fucking radiator fixed and y'all are buying helicopters and shit. Well, we made it. I'm glad I was able to drag you in here to do this, finally.
It's the only time you were going to get me, because I'm fucking busy.
She is very, very busy, but luckily we did have a nice 4-day holiday weekend. I thought the holidays were fun. There were no fist fights this year, so I was super excited about that.
I'm not. I live for that.
It does get pretty fun sometimes, but we made it through, and I want to thank you, my lovely wife, for stepping in and doing this for me. Do you have anything that you need to plug, or should I?
Shit. Nothing to plug.
Well, I mean, you can follow her on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to follow me on Instagram, if you Facebook friend me and we don't have common friends, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, if you know my husband, then you know who I am. I'm everywhere. If you follow Roller Derby, our Roller Derby team at all, HotDonna103, Instagram and Snapchat. Don't really use either, but hey, you can find me there.
And to clarify it, it's Haut Donna.
It's Haut, HAUTE.
Donna 103. So it's Haut Donna 103. You can follow her on Instagram. That is her handle. That's kind of her Derby Girl skater page. Again, also follow the Rocky Hill Rollers on Instagram and see what we're up to. And if you're a hot chick, come out to a practice one time.
Or if you feel like we didn't answer questions and we bounced around, which we did, and you want to know more about our crazy life, message this asshole. I'm sure he'll get me closer to Christmas when I have another 4-day weekend.
Yeah, and it'll be fun again. And maybe next time it could be just an entirely a Q&A.
Well, I mean, maybe next time we'll have like a moderator sitting here asking us questions so that we can just have our banter instead of trying to carry on a conversation.
Like I said, follow Rocky Hill Rollers. Follow me on all social media at Big Funny Bird. My next comedy show, January 25th at Chena's Alley in Lindsay. Jeff Garcia's headlining. I'm hosting. It's going to be a fun night of comedy. That's it. I think we had fun. So,
real friends don't let real friends have babies unless they're ready. I'll end on that note.
Yeah. And real friends don't talk their wives into doing a podcast with them. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening to this. And we will be back next week on our regularly scheduled time. The episode will drop on Sunday night. And I will be doing an episode every week. It will be out Sunday night. So Monday morning when you start your work week, there you go. You get to listen to my sexy voice. So anyway, once again, for my wife, Donna, I'm Jason Watson. This has been The Downward Spiral, and we will see you next week.
Fuck off.
That's how we do it, huh?
Yep.
All right. See ya.
We always end on a fuck you.
Always end on a fuck you.